Well, what about this book, though, On That Tree? Everybody has a tree around them, but no one thinks to make a book about it. But Mark Hirsch, are you Mark Hirsch? No? Oh, there's Mark Hirsch. I thought maybe the guy with the camera was you. And you sort of look alike, don't you? It's kind of, hi, Mark. How are you? Have a seat there. Got the book? Great book. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful idea. It's called That Tree, an iPhone photo journal documenting a year in the life of a lonely bur oak. And this is the one here. I can't see that at home, I guess. It's on our Facebook page, by the way, several shots of the tree. And there's more on your website if you want to look at the website while we're doing this.
Yep, absolutely.
Get an idea. What's your website?
It's thattree.net.
Thattree.net. So check it out here. Bur oak is not maybe the most highly esteemed of trees, is it?
I don't know.
It gets a bad rap, don't you think?
I always call it the sentinel of the prairie, so in my book it's pretty esteemed.
Yeah, but it's also the swamp oak, Jerry Rudman tells me. Did you know we have a beautiful one here on campus?
I've heard that.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Jerry, it's down by, if you go down Van Vleck, you're going over the hill and down the hill.
Right, it's just a beautiful
Van Vleck. Van Vleck, down the hill, and it's on your right then?
Towards the football, it's on the right.
Towards the what?
I'm lost.
Okay. That's where it is. You can't miss it. It's a very huge tree. And it's beautifully configured. Jerry tells me he used to take many dates there to the burrow, and they would make wishes on all the leaves or something like that. Tell us about burrows, first of all,
as a tree.
What kind of tree is it?
They were the predominant tree in the native prairie of the Midwest, and unfortunately, as a result of our agricultural practices, there aren't many of them left, at least not in a situation like this one.
Yeah.
They've been bulldozed, they've been taken out to establish crop ground. So coincidentally, this one survived and attracted my attention.
Yeah, so what are they just plowed around it? Because
literally.
Of the farm field.
And right now, I mean, in days past, I don't know how the farmers farm next to it, because with implements today, they're big enough that they don't have to get underneath the tree. The implements reach under. And the guy that farms it now still farms right up to within about 10 feet of the base of the tree, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Do we know how old this tree is?
Actually, a geologist from UW-Platteville came out and did a core sample, and it was 163 years old based on the core sample, but it is hollow, so he figures maybe 185 years old. So it's been here a long time. Seen a lot
it
of
makes
Wisconsin's
a difference
history.
If you're hollow or not as far as your
well,
age?
Well, I mean, because it's hollow, he couldn't get an actual complete core sample because the center of the tree is missing.
Now, should we worry? Because it
no,
is hollow.
No, well,
just to be worried
I wondered
about?
The same thing, and he said, you know, Mark, he said it's still a very healthy tree.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, okay. I don't want to worry about something else. You know, I got enough on my plate here. I'm going to worry about this tree standing in a field outside of Platteville. Where is it exactly?
It's south of Platteville, at the intersection of County Highway D and Airport Road.
Okay, but and this is not, you have a farm out there.
I have a farm on Airport Road, but it's not on my property.
This is like the neighbor's.
Yep,
and
friend
what,
of mine.
You kept driving past it?
Yeah, I drove by it for 20 years, and in January of 2012, I got an iPhone, and I posted a note on my Facebook page, and a friend who's a photographer in the Twin Cities, Corey Pepplin, Jack's her name, she sent me a note, isn't the camera great? I'm a professional photographer. I didn't buy it for a camera. I bought it for a phone. But she was like, seriously, treat it like a camera. So I'm driving home on January 20th, 2012. I'm sorry. I know. It's like, well,
I know. It's
really?
Sad, but it's
and
true.
I stopped and took a picture of the tree. And, you know, it actually proved to be a pretty capable camera.
Yeah. And the tree. I thought you'd say something about the tree.
Well, and the tree
about
was
the iPhone.
Well, no. Well, and it was a coincidence. I mean, I've driven by
this tree. About the tree.
Well, I've driven by it. I've admired it. I never once took a picture of it, but as a result of her inspiration, I took a picture of the tree. It just happened to be the thing that got my attention that day.
So it could have
been
anything.
A pretty girl.
A radio tower.
Well, no.
Or
probably
cell
a pretty
tower.
Girl or something would have gotten my attention more than a cell tower.
Would you drive past her every day for a year and take a picture of her? She was,
no.
Was that attractive?
Yeah.
So there's something about the tree.
Yeah. Well, it kind of resonated with me. And, you know, even then, after the initial picture, I didn't photograph it every day until the mid-March of the same year. I took another picture of it on March 13th, and a friend of mine sent me a note. He didn't see it on my Facebook page until March 23rd, and he sent me a note. He's like, dude, what's with you and that tree? Why don't you do a picture? Why don't you take a picture a day of it? And obviously, if he told me to jump off a bridge, I'd probably jump off a bridge too. Because the
this
next
guy
day,
has too much power over you.
Well, the next day, I started the project. And
what is this grip that he has on
I
you?
I don't know.
What is the root of it, so to speak? Okay. So you took a picture every day starting that day in March.
March 24th of 2012 till March 23rd of 2013. I know, it seems a little off.
No, so through every kind of weather, and the pictures, yeah. They're actually gorgeous pictures. I wish we could show them here, but like go on there. I like the one especially with the dog with the tree.
My pal Magnum.
Yeah, very nice. That's your pal, that's your dog.
Yep.
There's the tree in the background, but it's like in every sort of situation that a tree could be in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 365 days, and I'm still at it for
family?
Some crazy reason.
Is your family?
No, actually, it's a friend of mine from Colorado.
Wandering family finds the tree here in the field. Another Kodak moment for this tree. This tree has had some amazing moments. Did you happen to talk with the farmer or someone who's known this tree growing
Yeah,
up?
Yeah, actually, I did do some research, and the land that tree is on, the soil was never broken and tilled until 1989. So I guess that explains why it's still there. It was that particular tract was all pasture.
No kidding.
So
a lot of cows
Yep, absolutely. And then it was tilled for the first time in 1989, and for some reason the farmer that owned it at the time liked the tree and tilled around it, and then the guy that owns it now is a good friend of mine, and same attitude, same philosophy. I have a good story about that. Within a month of me starting my project, I thought my friend was leasing the ground, and I said to him, you know, it's amazing that tree is still there, because it's hardly convenient for a farmer to work around it. And he says, well, you know, he said in the spring I had an excavator out doing waterway control and removing fence lines, which many farmers did this year because of commodity prices being so high. And so he went out on a Saturday to inspect the work, and the bulldozer operator says to him, while I'm at it, you want me to push over that tree too? And I know, pretty scary for me. And my friend's comment was, you know, that tree's been here for over 200 years. I'm not the guy that's going to knock it over. Oh. So fortunately, it's still there today.
Yeah. Holy cow. I didn't get that whole part about removing your fences when the commodity prices are high, but I'm sure that a lot of people out there are saying, yeah, that's right.
Well, they want more ground for crops.
Oh,
more
okay, of course. Crops. What am I thinking? I don't think like a farmer. What's the matter with me? And you do have this Aldo Leopold quote of it, which I really like. Why don't you read it?
Sure. Thus, he who owns a veteran burr oak owns more than a tree. He owns a historical library and a reserve seat in the theater of evolution. To the discerning eye, his farm is labeled with the badge and symbol of the Prairie War.
Interesting. Now, do we know what the Prairie War
I'm sorry, is? I do not. No, I'm guessing the Prairie War would have been the Europeans settling this area and turning over the prairie to plant domestic crops.
Yeah. Was the burr oak there to meet?
You know, actually, no, it would not have been. And actually, this wouldn't even be considered a witness oak. It wouldn't have been.
No, not this one, but I mean the species in general.
Yes, absolutely.
Perhaps the first tree one would see?
More than likely in the Midwest on the prairie, absolutely.
On the prairies. Yep. And why are they attracted to prairies?
I'm not an arborist, but I will say that they were the burr oak was impervious to prairie fires, whereas softwood trees and other less hardy trees would die as a result of the fires, and the burr oaks could endure it and survive. So
why impervious?
I don't know.
Couldn't you burn that sucker if you really tried?
I think if you really tried, you could. But a prairie fire would burn the grasses around the tree, and it really wouldn't dwell, and so, no, they survived.
Isn't that interesting? Why is there only one?
I didn't know
one,
this was
though?
A science
what?
Quiz.
No, I'm really interested. No, I don't know. Why don't you see, like, a flock of them or a stand
well,
of
because,
burr
because
oaks?
They, well, yeah, good question, because... Yes. Burr oaks compete with one another, and the nearest burr oak will not be any closer than the shade of the next tree. And there's as much structure to a burr oak under the ground in its root system as there is the canopy above ground.
Okay. And just some figures on this particular tree. Can you tell us height? And
It's probably about 55, 60 feet tall.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what the circumference is.
Do we know
two people reaching around could hug it nicely.
Okay. I'm sure you've done that.
I
don't want to hear the details on that.
Yes, I have.
But, and the crown, do we have, you know, how big the crown goes?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I think it's probably comparable to its height, so probably 60 feet.
Yeah, it looks like it might be more, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, possibly.
Well, turn it, hard to imagine actually turning it sideways for a moment to get that sensation. It would be hard to do. Are there any other burr oaks in the area?
There are not. I mean, it's all alone in the midst of corn and soybeans.
Yeah. Were the burr oaks actually harvested and for lumber purposes?
You know, I don't think the wood of a burr oak is all that convenient for, you know, construction. It's really knotty.
It's not convenient? It's knotty.
It's knotty, yeah. I mean, it's strong. It's an oak, but...
Coffee tables?
Yeah, possibly coffee tables. Yeah, sure, sure. Crafty wood. Yeah. I don't think we'd build our houses with it, though.
So there aren't any places out there that construct entirely of bur oak?
I don't know.
Never hear that.
No. Nope.
It doesn't get the same respect as some of the other oaks.
No, I don't think so.
The white oak, your red oak.
The red oak, no.
Your black oak,
no.
Your other oaks. I'm not sure how many kind of oaks there are. But.
So this was my opportunity to elevate the bur oak to some level of fame.
Yeah. Has this inspired in you a desire to learn more about
It did, as a matter of fact.
It changed your life.
Yeah, well, it has. I mean, you know, historically, I knew nothing about that particular tract of ground, and as a result of this project, you know, involved a geologist to come out and do the core sample. It was really interesting to learn the age of the tree. I also learned who the first owner of that property was, which was really interesting. It was John Hawkins Rowntree, who was pretty famous in Midwest history, ended up being a politician. And the surveyor who surveyed that property, Wisconsin's Historical Society, has an incredible resource that you can go on, and if you know the quadrant of the property, you can find the notes from the surveyor. Mm. And the surveyor that surveyed this property, his name was Lucius Lyons, and just it's really interesting to imagine him out there, you know, with a horse and a wagon and a sextant, whatever they were using back then for surveying, and looking upon that land, and he probably looked upon a bur oak that was the parent tree to this one.
How do they reproduce? Is it acorns come from?
I think actually, yes, they do, and I think they're asexual. I think that they produce both the male and the female part of the process. Pretty interesting. Envision that, Michael. Envision that.
I'm trying to. It'd be a little slow, I think, but if you had the time for it, it'd be somewhat interesting. But I mean, and that's all well and good and stuff, but I mean, spiritually, has this changed you? I'm looking for
the
spiritual growth.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, when I started this project, I looked at it just as a tree in a cornfield, you know.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with this tree. I mean, a lot of time with this tree. I've talked to this tree. Doesn't talk back. Very good listener.
No.
But you know,
do you feel a rapport? I mean, you know.
A silent rapport, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I looked at it as just a tree in a cornfield. And now, you know, it's so much more. Every day I'm down there, and you start to recognize that were it not for this tree, it's a monoculture of soy or of corn or soybeans. The deer, the turkey, the blackbird, whatever it may be, if it weren't for that tree, there's no source or justification or reason for them to be there. And, you know, I kind of look at it now as like the tree of life for that realm in that cornfield.
Well, that's very beautiful. Well, didn't you think? That's worthy of a little appreciation. Come on, people. Have you heard from other bur oaks or people who are as fascinated with the species?
I have not, but I'll tell you. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I had no idea what affinity people had for trees until I embarked on this project. And when I started it, you know, some media organizations gave it some attention, had a reasonable number of followers on Facebook. But today there are 32,000 people following this project on Facebook, and it's...
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Should have gone into bur oaks.
But the way people reflect on it and their relationship to my project and their appreciation for it, I mean, I suddenly realized that trees really resonate with people for some strange reason.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's metaphorical to us or otherwise, but, you know, it's been a really cool experience.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful... And the photographs are wonderful.
Thank you.
So this is a must read if you're interested in this sort of thing. Not everyone is, but it's called That Tree, an iPhone photo journal documenting a year in the life of a lonely bur oak. Mark Hirsch, thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mike. Thank
you.
Thank you.
You want the book back? I got my copy. And I want you to know that no trees were murdered in the production of this book. This is all reused stuff, Kleenex and such. So no trees went into this book. Very nice. Hirsch, by the way, H-I-R-S-C-H. If you're looking at them. If you're going to Google them, that's how you do it. Okay.
Boy, that tree was there when... That tree was already old when I was growing up down there.
Oh, yeah, it was way old when you were growing there.
Huh.
It was there when your dad was growing up.
He didn't grow up there.
When your granddad.
He didn't grow up there.
Well, when he's growing up somewhere, you just don't spoil the moment. You got to ruin every moment, don't you?
I try to.
It's good. It's good that you do that. Brings me back down to earth.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a tree that you were fond of? As a boy, did you have a tree in your yard? You used to climb it?
I don't know. I don't remember any specific tree. I like trees in general.
General trees?
I don't have anything against them.
No particular trees. Jeff, any trees? Yes, Jeff has a tree. What was it?
We had a lot. We had pine trees in the front.
Pine trees.
Oh, my God. Pine trees?
But, I mean, was there one particular tree that you used to climb, maybe? Yes?
Yes. You know, we had a very big, it's kind of a pine tree.
Pine tree.
Pine tree. You can't really
conifer of some sort, spruce, a spruce maybe.
We would put haunted houses in.
Haunted houses.
We would make stuff.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you very much. Very possible book in that. Anyhow, a little song here.
Yeah, this is a Cole Porter tune called "I Concentrate on You."